Good evening, everybody. Welcome. We're here with Dan Natterman and Krista Montella, and Krista Stefano is going to be here, and Gary Veeder, and we have some hot models also sitting in the olive tree. We're going to invite them to come talk with us. So I spent the day in court because somebody in my family, shall I say, got arrested.
Like, people can't guess.
Got arrested for weed in his car, and I spent the whole day in court. He has to do 25 hours of community service.
Oh, God.
But, you know, they had people there in handcuffs and everything. Criminal justice system is no joke, I just want to say. So,
Was he scared straight?
Well, he's like, what do I tell him? I was like, just tell him the truth. He goes, no, they didn't read me my rights. I'm going to tell him they didn't read me my rights.
Oh,
I'm like, no, don't tell they didn't read your rights. He says, they didn't have a right to search me. I said, I think you're making a mistake. And then we got into a fight. He says, I don't need your help, he says to me. And then I called him a disrespectful punk.
So what was your role in being down there? Just because he had to contact the parent?
To make sure that he's 22 years old. I wanted to make sure he didn't say anything stupid.
Okay.
But in the end, the judge was very professional, and she just gave him 25 hours of community service. And that's it. So he's going to go help old ladies across the street or something. So anyway, Dan Natterman.
Is he going to do the community service, or are you going to try to make a run for it?
He's going to go.
Well, you know what?
He's going to go on the lam.
If he doesn't, he has a year to do 25 hours, and if he doesn't do it, they arrest him.
Is it a project of his choosing?
Yes, he can do whatever he wants.
All right.
I said, don't you have a list for him? No, you have to go. It's weird. Like, you have to go and figure out where to do community service. And then also, they gave him the sentence orally, but they didn't write anything down for him. He's like, how many hours did I have to do? And then the judge actually, one time she said 20, one time she said 25.
You don't get any kind of written.
There's no paper to refer to about what it is. But I said, do the 25 just in case you.
Do 35.
do 35. So anyway, Dan, what's up with you this week?
Well, first of all, the regular listeners know that I was binge-watching Breaking Bad, and I finished that about a week ago.
And is it the greatest series ever to be committed to a video?
I think it's the greatest series that I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. But
you've only seen about four series.
I don't watch a lot of this stuff.
Better than Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, that's a whole different generation. But, yes, better than Mary Tyler Moore, in my estimation. But the larger point here is that I've been left with this feeling of emptiness. I don't know. Can you relate to that, Kristen?
When you finish a series that you love.
I did two weeks. I watched the whole, all six seasons in 2 weeks. And now I don't know how to fill the hole.
Yeah. You got to get a new series. I mean, it's addiction.
Well, I'm getting Sherlock. You know, Sherlock, okay. The BBC series. I'm getting
it
on
DVD. They have it in French?
Well, I have to go to Amazon.fr. That's where I got Breaking Bad.
Okay.
In order to get these shows in French, most shows do not have a French audio track on Amazon.com or at Best Buy, so I have to order it overseas.
Do you watch French porn?
No, I don't watch French porn.
Why not?
There's really not a lot of French porn. The French are not big in the porn industry. They have it.
Maybe some African porn in French.
The Americans.
Mozambique.
Was Breaking Bad in French?
I think, generally speaking, Americans and the Japanese, I guess, maybe the Germans, I think, are at the top of the porn.
You know, I know nothing about porn. Actually, maybe we should wait for Chris for this. Maybe he can. Let's leave porn aside. Let's just write porn. Does somebody have chalk?
Let's write porn here. Porn. I have.
Were you watching Breaking Bad in porn? In porn. In French.
In porno.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he watches it in French.
Okay. I watch it in French.
I believe he misses something by watching.
I was
going to
say, that show in particular, because there's a lot of like very current slang and.
Well, they translate into French and I watch it with French subtitles simultaneously. So if I didn't hear something right, I can read it.
Okay.
And the actors are great. Whoever played the French voiceover actor who dubbed the Saul Goodman part was.
That's good.
I haven't seen Bob Odenkirk, but I can't imagine he's better.
Now, if you hear something that you just don't understand, which must happen, you pause it and then you look it up.
I can pause it. No, well, I can listen to it again. I can rewind it
but at some point subtitle. You might hear a word you don't know. I mean, even in English, you might have to look up a word.
He said there's subtitles.
The subtitles are in French.
Oh, wow.
I understand.
There are very few things I have a very good vocabulary, even slang. What I don't have. Is the fluidity to use it effortlessly. But I do have a very good vocabulary.
So you never have to stop and look anything up.
Almost very seldom.
And I presume it's the same in porn.
Very seldom. Okay. And and if it's one word, and you know, I don't necessarily have to look up every word. I mean, if there's words that you said in English that I don't know, I don't run to the dictionary.
But if it's a like, you know, Breaking Bad has very specific characters. Does the French person who's doing the voiceover put on?
How do I know? I've never seen it in English.
Well, watch it in
English.
Well,
you know, kind of what the character. It, you know, if you have like a Jewish. A very super
easy.
Jewish lawyer.
What is? No. What do you mean
no,
by that? What do you even
you know
mean?
I mean
by? No,
like,
I don't know what
yes,
you,
you
mean.
Yes, you do. Like the character Tom Cruise played in that yeah. spoof movie. You know, if it's
no
something like
well,
that, do they?
Saul Goodman, the lawyer, was not Jewish in Breaking Bad.
No, but I'm just saying, does he
Tropic
put on
Thunder?
Like yeah, Tropic Thunder? Thank you. All right. Anyway,
Can we bring Chris over, or you got more on your week?
Well, he can come over for this.
He can come over if he'd like. Chris, DeStefano, everybody. Chris DeStefano, who, if you don't know him, get to know him.
Isn't he famous now?
I don't
I think
believe
he's famous.
So, but he, I don't think he is.
famous? I don't know.
I think you're pretty famous, judging by the fact that the audience seems to perk up at your name.
I think that, yeah, well, especially a lot of stuff with MTV and Comedy Central, so especially if it's a younger crowd. If it's a younger
Ooh.
Crowd, no. If it's a, no, but listen, if it's a younger crowd,
at least
but
you didn't
also,
say hip.
Also, if I did these shows, especially if it's a New York crowd, I was on a lot of these MSG shows, sports shows. So a lot of times, you know, these construction workers would be like, "Are you that guy from that show, The Bracket?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me."
And no. And whatever happened with Vegas, by the way? Did you know, Chris, that Noam was planning to or in talks with? Some people out in Vegas to establish a Comedy Cellar Vegas
nice.
Branch.
Little mafia guys?
They're legit. But they, after waiting like 6 months for a deal, they sent me a memo of a deal which was just
unacceptable.
Like, just unacceptable.
Just so Vegas.
What's the word for it when it's like onerous? And
okay.
onerous requirements. And then the deal they sent, he sends it to me. He says, "I know this isn't what we talked about, and this is two deals in one. So let's talk." I was like, "Really? I waited 6 months for this, and now
that." Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm still gonna pursue it. But I'm not sure why.
Yeah,
I think I just want to be able to tell my wife, "Look, Chris and I got to go to Vegas. I'm sorry."
you just said, "Look, Kristen."
Chris and I.
Chris and I. I'll go to Vegas. I like
I gotta
that.
Go work.
Hey, look, I like that idea. You know, I like expanding our business, but I also think there's a mystique about just there being one, and
yeah.
it's just here, and it's just in downtown Manhattan, and it's like the epicenter of comedy.
I agree.
I would never hold you back from
no,
anything.
No, you're right, but yeah. there is, I mean, I'm not, you don't know me that well, but most people by this point who know me know that I'm really not like a star fucker or a publicity hound or any of those things.
Right.
I prefer not even anybody to know what it is I do or like I don't post on Facebook when blah 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 happens. But to see the Comedy Cellar up in lights on one of those big billboards in Vegas.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Like I would kind of like that. Just for I think it would be like it would make I know he's dead and he's I don't believe in the afterlife, but my father would have been so proud and my kids will be proud and it just And like I said, honey, I gotta go to Vegas.
But it would have to—I guess it would have to be different, though. You would have to run it different, and that would have to be, I guess, like a headliner club because
well,
you can't have guys coming through.
You've put your finger on the problem I'm having.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that unless I can make it a showcase club.
Right.
I told them I'm not interested.
And by showcase club for the listeners, that means several comedians, not just one headliner and maybe an opening act.
Yeah, and,
right.
and a horrible opening act because I've never enjoyed myself at a headlining club.
No, me neither. I don't like doing it. I always think, you know, when they say, hey, you can stretch out, you can do an hour and a half, I'm always like, I have no interest in doing that. I don't think the audience has any interest in doing that. I don't care how funny or famous you are. In my opinion, 45 minutes is the absolute max I would want to see anyone perform, so including myself. So even if it's going great. So that's why I think here, when you get the guys that drop in like Rock and Louis or whomever and they do 35, 40, that's fine. It's, you know, it's a pump for the audience. It's great. But I think that's, you know, quick 15, 10 to 15 minute sets down here. Comic gives it all they got. It's good. It's their A shit. I think that's why the crowds love it
well,
so
also,
much.
If you don't like a particular comic, wait 10 to 15 minutes, there'll be another comic.
Right.
Exactly.
No,
it's definitely a superior form. I mean, obviously,
unless you really, really love a particular comic and you want to see him for 45 minutes.
That's right. If you book like Louis C.K. as a headliner and everybody buys a ticket to see Louis C.K.,
sure.
then people are happy to see Louis C.K. Now the truth is, even with, like, forget about Louis, but like even with like Stevie Wonder, let's say, they might prefer it. It's shorter, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact is, in most comedy clubs,
especially if he was doing comedy, they definitely
a big amount of the crowd, and be even more so in Vegas, is not there because of the name of the headliner.
No.
And there's not that many headliners who have that kind of charisma or fame or whatever it is to rivet an audience for 60 minutes.
To draw like that in Las Vegas is tough. That's why, you know.
I mean, no matter how great you are, 15 minutes of Greer Barnes is still going to make the show better.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
How are you going to argue with Greer Barnes?
By the way, Noam, I just, before I forget, let's give out the email so that people can give us feedback.
Comedy Cellar Show. At ComedySellar.com. ComedySellar Show.
We love your feedback, especially if it's positive.
I don't like the positive feedback.
I like and if it's positive about me but negative about everybody else, that's fine too.
This is what I want to ask Chris about. And sure. Dan, hey Mike.
Mikey.
Chris has inexplicably and to my mind, it's a flaw in our system. Chris has until recently was not getting the spots or getting his position in this club that he warranted, either by his credits or his batting average with the crowd.
Yeah.
What do you think was going on there?
You
just fell through the cracks or something?
I think I just fell through the cracks. Yeah, I think I fell through the cracks, but I also think it took me a little bit of time to get as comfortable as I am now. And also I had a child recently, so there was like this innate thing that happened inside of me where I was like, every time I come here or any club, you need to try to blow the roof off and get as far into this career as you can, because it's what I chose. I used to be a physical therapist and I left that entire career behind for this, and I'm the only one that works in my family, so doing it for my daughter, it's like I this is what I chose. If I'm not going to go 100% here, then I'll just go back to being a physical therapist, because now it's not just about me, now it's about her. So I think that's what happened. But I also think, you know, a lot of my spots were late, you know, 1 a.m. you know, on a Tuesday, which was fine. I didn't mind doing it, but I think, you know, nobody was really aware what was happening. And then I think you know, I started to get booked at the Village Underground, and I think more people are just watching. And I think I got a spot early, like 8:30. I think someone dropped out, and Esty called me, you know, and said, can you make it in like an hour? And I did. And I, you know, I think that's where maybe some people saw me.
Thank you. Nice to be here. I'm having a baby. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. My girlfriend's like 57 months pregnant. She's so pregnant. It's unbelievable. She's Puerto Rican girl. Never dated Puerto Rican girl before, you know. You never really know what's going to happen with them. Like, things can just always hit the fan. You don't know what you did. Like, white girls, you know, they're going to go home. They're going to watch their shows. But Puerto Rican girls, you're in the show. That's it. You're in a lifetime drama now where you could get stabbed in the neck because she had a dream that you cheated on her. Every morning I wake up, she's like, it's all right. No, it's all right. When she says it's all right, it's not all right, just so we know. She's always like, no, it's fine. Chris, it's fine. She's always catching something when she's talking to me. I'm like, are there imaginary wiffle balls I don't know about? She's very sexual, too. Like, almost too sexual. You know, it's like kind of like illegal. It's a lot. And I'm having a daughter. So now I feel like I have to have a talk with my daughter. Like, hey, you can't hang out with your mother anymore. Right? No bueno, mija. No bueno. I'm happy I traveled a lot before, you know, get a little culture in me. Because I'm from Brooklyn. Like, you know, nobody gets off the block where I'm from. They're like, oh, Chris made it to the intersection the other day. This kid's on fire. You know, but I'm happy I got out there, but I don't know what's going on, you know. Guy was in Norway, you know, waiter comes over. He's like, oh, would you like reindeer meat? I said, reindeer? That's a real animal? You have actual reindeer, like flying around? What the hell? Let's eat Christmas together, Sven.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but Essie and I were doing the lineups, and there was one show. I'm like, Essie, the average age of these comics is like 45 years old.
Yeah.
They're all fantastic, but there is still something like. So I said we got to get Chris more spots because he's killing and he's funny and he's on TV. Like what like this every box is checked off.
And young. And he'll bring the median age.
But how old
down.
Are you? 32?
31.
31, huh?
31, yeah.
Yeah, he's a young comic, you know?
Yeah.
And no matter, it doesn't make you funnier, but our demographic is on the, I'd say the average, what's the average age? 30 in the comedy show?
Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
And how many?
I don't think it matters in terms of their enjoyment of the show, but it might matter if they know him from MTV or what shows do you do? Like the Bro Code? Or
yeah, the Guy Code, Girl Code, and then some Comedy Central stuff.
All those shows.
Yeah.
You know, all those shows that you do if you look like Chris. You know, he's a big, handsome guy. In a very jock way. He's a big.
I know.
He had to give you a little.
No, because I'm trying to describe him
because
it's a radio show, and they're thinking handsome. They're thinking Phil Hanley handsome, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Assuming they know who Phil Hanley is, which is unlikely, but
he
is a. I'm trying to describe the guy's like looks like. The captain of the football team, and I think indeed you were back in the day.
I was, but I also was like I could play sports, but I also was the guy who kind of got bullied. I never bullied anybody in my life because I was the one like I would have like you know my eczema would flare up, and I would have like an asthma attack, and my mother would be like rubbing holy water on my eczema, and I'm like, Ma, this is making it worse, and I was like this kid like
you have asthma too.
Yeah, all that stuff, all the things that a guy like me, like you would think like I was a football star. Nobody else on my team had any of the problems I had. Like I had to wear a retainer because my gums would bleed. You know, I had all these skin conditions. I had asthma. I had anxiety. You know, like I was all. So I think it lending myself.
How did you get to be captain of the football team? The Down syndrome guy couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I could just play. Yeah. But
he scared all the other kids. They put him in.
The first time I've seen Chris in a short sleeve is at least. I don't remember having it, but I noticed you have a tattoo. What does that say?
This is Catholic.
It looks
shit.
Like something very, in your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety.
So that's how you know you got anxiety problems when you got the word anxiety tattooed on your forearm.
Wait, that's not from the Bible. The Bible doesn't have the word anxiety.
That's from the church.
That's Catholic church.
I went to a funeral at a black church.
Yeah.
And you know, they have these signs around the church. It said, failure is not optional.
It's
supposed to say failure is not an option.
I know, but that's
failure is not optional.
Sounds like an Indian guy, and sounds like an Indian guy fucking up a cliche, like in that movie Short Circuit. I am on the side of myself.
That's what happens when the English is not your first language.
where was this?
It was at a funeral for a dear Sean Jamel's funeral, and but the somberness of the moment was distracted by that hilarious sign. So anyway, because my son has eczema slightly,
sure,
and I've been reading.
Well, which son? The real son or the one that got caught with weed?
The real son.
The real son.
Okay.
And
the one that's in the will.
Jesus Christ!
I don't know. I mean, maybe Nicholas will get the grill in the back or something.
Dan,
what?
Last week you had to diss De Niro. Now you got to diss my own family.
Well, you're welcome to say, Dan, that's not true. He's every bit as much of a son.
Dan, he's not true. He's every bit, almost every bit. No, he's, of course, Dan, shut up, Dan. So anyway, but I read about it, and it's highly associated with asthma.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm worried about. Now I've had little tiny eczema from time to time, but I've never been treated for it or anything. But like in the wintertime, I'll get a little itch.
Right.
But you had it bad.
I had it bad. When I was a kid, these things like when I was a child. I've had like the same size head and teeth since I was like 6 years old.
And again, for the listeners,
he's got big head and teeth.
Big head and teeth.
Hey, Gary, come sit down.
But my shoulders have grown into my head and teeth now. But when I was a kid, I just looked like a caricature. Like I looked like a lollipop with a stupid face, and I had all these ailments. So I think mine would flare up. Mine psoriasis too would just flare up when I got stressed out.
What's the difference between psoriasis and eczema?
Psoriasis is usually like an autoimmune thing where like stress will bring it on. Where eczema is like a very.
You're listening to Skin Talk here. On Serious.
It's a topical, like you know, it's very surface kind of thing.
Yeah, so. But with all that, you know, I mean, I hear a lot of guys talking about being dorks and being picked on. But let's get down to brass tacks. How many chicks did you bang in high school?
In high school? Not lying. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18.
What was your first? Well, what did you do in high school with chicks?
With chicks? I had one girlfriend. I had one girlfriend, Letitia. She was the first. She was half black, half white. And that was my girlfriend. And then I went to college. We broke up. I went to school.
She had vitiligo.
Yeah, she had vitiligo, dermatitis. I didn't start hooking up with chicks until I was like 20.
Homecoming king and queen.
Well, my first kiss was at 24. So
24.
That's right. So you have a little respect.
Yeah.
For a real nerd. Yeah.
So Dad told me that.
Well, he mentioned it.
That you had your child. You didn't know your
Lamar. No. We didn't know. I didn't know. We were dating for 3 weeks, and she got pregnant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then she, you know, but she said, she was like, look, do you want me to take care of this? And I was like, no, let's do it. So
no plan B pill, huh?
You want to hear the craziest thing? It happened. We had, you know, sex. She said, you know, accident. And then we went and got plan B. An hour later, we went and got plan B. On the way to the drugstore, she was like, she had already had a child from a previous relationship. She was like, I'm pregnant. She's like, I'm telling you, something just morphed in me. I'm fucking pregnant.
Every Rican girl says
that's
that.
That's what I said. I was like,
and they're right.
I was like, you're just being a Puerto Rican. Stop. And then we take the plan B, and then, you know, a month goes by, no period, takes the pregnancy test, it's positive. We go right to the doctor, and we tell him the situation, and the doctor's like, well, you know, you probably... Sometimes this happens.
Time for plan C.
Plan C, you get direct hit. Like you conceive this child within minutes of you know, the act happening.
Well,
and
yeah,
finishing.
Like stronger sperm. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, stronger. I don't know about that. I mean, stronger sperm.
The Puerto Rican egg was
the
Puerto Rican egg.
The gravitational pull of the black
moon.
Hole in the Puerto Rican egg.
Right.
That's how you know he's not a nerd. You would never be able to do that.
Well,
an hour. I wouldn't be able to do that.
This is Gary Veeder has joined us too. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
I had to chime in with something.
Yeah, Veeder.
I'm a nerd. That wouldn't work for me either. It would take me forever.
Well, I don't know that they.
It's gonna take. I'm married, but it would take my wife forever probably to get pregnant with my my semen. That's just how I feel.
Well, I don't know if there's any relationship between.
I used to ring that bell
potency
like that
and,
when I was younger.
Yeah.
Even with Jewish girls.
It's confidence. This guy's confident. That's why it will happen.
Could be.
Not confident though. Like I'm not. I'm not at anything. I'm really not confident at all.
But
you listen to my shit down there. I
know
implode.
You're not. But it still comes off as I know you're not. Like you're insecure for your own reasons. But then at the same time, you still like girls find you guaranteed confident.
Well, it's not.
Guy.
It's not that. It's not that. You know what it is. It's not that it's confidence. It's just that I have so much panic happening inside of me that I'm just like, fuck it, let's go. And maybe that. Comes off falsely as confidence.
Were you using a condom? Let's get down to the
sexual.
No,
no condom.
Well,
I knew that I couldn't with her. When I saw her dancing, I was like, if this girl's not on birth control, I'm going to get her pregnant.
Well, she's a stripper?
Yeah, she's poor. No, she was dancing at a bar. We met at a bar. I knew that if we even tried to if I even tried to put on a condom, I was going to rip it off. And that's what I did.
So you came inside her.
I came right inside her.
Yeah, and you know how pregnancy happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't even attempt to pull out. This was a full...
You can't pull out of a Puerto Rican girl.
I couldn't pull out.
I'm convinced that's the reason they get pregnant all the time.
In your head, you wanted a baby. I mean, on some level.
Absolutely.
Obviously, because you don't... The Natterman method, if you really don't want a baby, you make damn well sure that you don't have one.
Was she on top?
She was on top.
It's harder to pull out when they're on top.
It was impossible.
If you don't
get off, get her, and then it won't stop.
She tried to. I could. It's never going to work. I knew that I was going to get her pregnant. I knew for a fact that the second I met her, I was like, if this girl's interested in me in any way, shape, or form, she's going to be pregnant within the month.
And you wanted to have a kid with her, I guess.
Yeah, I did. I love the fact that I love my daughter. I wouldn't change it for anything. Moving forward, should we have thought about it? And, you know, of course, but it's too late now.
Now you guys have a happy family.
We
then
have
no
a
harm,
happy
no
family.
Foul.
We're in the moment. We love it. I love my daughter.
Well, you've known this woman, baby's mother. I don't know what you refer to her as.
Yeah, she's my girlfriend. But you could call her my baby moms.
All right. Well, I'll do that then.
Yeah.
But you're going to get married. I mean, you're going to make an honest woman out of her, right?
I don't know if we're going to get married.
I don't want your kids to get picked on.
I know. Well, I feel like that. I mean,
that
it's already.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They don't do that anymore.
I know. I don't know if we're going to get married. We're still, you know, we're trying to just get to know each other. Like, you know, because even though we have a 10-month-old daughter, we're still, like, in the honeymoon phase as a couple, you know, so we're still...
So realistically, and right. without wanting to being a Debbie Downer here, or a Daniel Downer in this case...
As you know, no other way.
Right.
What chance do you think you have that this marriage will work over the long term?
What chance does it have? I think a lot of it's going to depend on if my career hopefully escalates to the place where I want it, if she wants to stay around and deal with that. That's the biggest problem, is my career.
Make sure you get a prenuptial.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, you're saying that you'd be too busy with your career.
No, I wouldn't.
Prenuptialissimo.
No, it's not that. It's not about being busy. It's about if she wants to deal with, you know, a husband who's away a lot or who's, you know, out late. Not every woman likes this.
So you're putting, you're saying,
I don't think you have to worry about that because she has the baby. And no matter what it is, as long as you're not fighting, she's going to want the girl, your daughter's father, to be there for the daughter.
It's still hard knowing that he's out every night, though.
I'll be there. Yeah. But the thing is, I'll be there one way or another. You know, even if we broke up.
It's not the same.
What Chris is saying, is that it's all her. In other words, he's in it for the long haul, according to what you just said. It's all her, whether she wants to put up with it. But you don't see yourself.
The girls don't leave. It's the guy who leaves.
But I'm saying you don't see yourself changing your mind about this or I mean, in the fog of the honeymoon phase.
I don't know. It's still I think it's still too early to tell. We're happy. We're very happy now. But I just don't know. You could tell, like, there's, you know, problems, you know, that arise that are normal. I mean, what do you think? You're going to have a baby with a kid after you know the girl for 3 weeks and there's going to be no problems?
Listen, right. People plan to have kids after knowing each other for 10 years and they have problems.
Exactly. I knew my wife 19 years and we had problems.
Problems. So, you know, that's like, you can't possibly anticipate it.
Well, I wish you the best.
Puerto Rican.
I wish you, certainly all wish you the best of luck, and we're all rooting for you. And
that was almost sincere sounding.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
And remember, as the good book says.
Would you stop touching him?
Well, I'm going to read his arm tattoo. I don't know the good book. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety and bipolar illness.
Yeah, I am not sinning.
I think that, like the way I feel about my children, I could literally come home and find my wife banging Mike Yard. I mean, it doesn't even matter. Well, I'd be like, Jesus. Okay, we can work through this. I can't bear to leave the kids. Although when things weren't going well between my wife, and it's been a little better lately, there's a house that went for sale across the street.
Yeah.
And I thought about buying it just so in case she throws me out, I can just move across the street.
Well, how did you grow up? Did you grow up with both parents in
the
house?
No.
So you grew up with split?
Yeah.
Same with me. But you had a good relationship with your mom and dad independently?
No.
See, I had a very good relationship with my mom and dad independently as co-parents. So for me, the idea of co-parenting is not such dismal thing.
What age did they split up?
They split up when I was one.
Well, that's the difference. You don't remember anything.
I never remembered it any other way. So I almost.
So you got to split up now or stick with
it. That's what I'm saying. It's go time. Either we do it now or we stick it out.
No, but you could also remember them fighting, you know, about who's going to whose house and you know.
As a child, there was parts where I was like, you know, would get mad at my mom and be like, why isn't my dad here? Why do I have to go to Christmas at his house and not stay here? All that. But I think ultimately, being an adult and looking back now, it was the best thing that happened to me, because if I would have just seen two people fighting 24/7, I would be a very different person than I am now.
And you're married, right?
Yeah. That's how my parents were, though. They fought. So you're saying you would be me?
Yeah. I'd be nerdy. I'd be a fucking nerd.
Imagine your psoriasis with that kind of stress.
With this build?
Do you have kids?
I don't have kids.
So okay. Can I just say, this is Gary Veeder, and he also had a similarly hard time getting spots here.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's at the beginning. It's hard. You know, you're making it sound as though it's so crazy. At the beginning, there's 80 billion comics that work here. Esty gets, you know, literally, I think, 100 people call in for avails. Yes, at the beginning, it's hard to establish, to get a foothold, you know, here. So that's not so crazy or unusual.
Yeah, I believe it's like a hierarchy. That's how I was thinking about it in my head. I was like, oh, I'm just not in line. I feel like I'm on the team, but I'm just like at the end of the bench.
Right.
And little by little, you know, when people get hurt, I'll move up.
And you'll get your chances to, like, you know, perform and do well. Yeah.
Right.
No, I think you fell through the cracks somehow. I gotta say, I mean, you were there. I don't know how to account for it.
I never.
I'll tell you how to account for it. There's 80 billion comics that work here.
I never asked for it. I feel like as much as sometimes it would pay, you know, because it doesn't. This is the top club, so it's like there's times where, like, I had things going on. I'm on TV. I'm did like David Letterman, but I got no Comedy Cellar spots, so you feel like a failure. But I never was. So I never asked. I was like, timing will work itself out eventually, and hopefully now it does.
Yeah. And yeah. And Gary, why didn't you get spots, Gary?
I'm not funny. I don't know. I mean, you saw me like a while ago, and that's how like I was like, oh, this is gonna be my in. And then it took 2 years.
You have to ask Esty that question: why she's not giving more spots to certain people.
But Noam looks at the lineup too.
It's a
that's Esty's decision.
I think there's so many comics that are afraid to recommend somebody too because they don't want to lose their spots. So I mean, I feel like that happens too. So
that's
it's
why
like,
you wouldn't recommend someone. See, I wouldn't recommend someone because I feel like I can't even do that yet.
Well, no, I know. I mean, I couldn't, but I'm saying that's why maybe it took a longer time for me. I feel like people were just worried, thinking about their own thing. I feel like unless you're like Colin or somebody big here, you know, it's going to be hard to get a recommendation on your behalf because they're just happy with their spot.
Sure.
But I asked
Essie, I said, how's Gary Veeder doing? She goes, wonderful.
Oh, good.
And he's so nice, too, she said.
Oh, thanks.
And is there, because I know you look at the lineups with Essie.
Yeah.
Is there a lot that goes in terms of, you just put on everyone who crushes? Or do you really look at, like, the flow and who's high energy, who's low energy?
I don't know.
Is there really an algorithm? The truth is, Essie
shows me the lineup, and almost all the time I just rubber stamp it, you know, because even if I wouldn't do it exactly the same way, the changes are so unimportant that I don't want to.
I
want to give her head. I mean, she really does a lot of it. From time to time, and it's not Esty, it would be with anybody. Sometimes a second pair of eyes will say, "Oh, you know, did you notice? Oh shit, I didn't notice that." So I'm a second pair of eyes for her. But it actually was with Chris that I felt that he wasn't getting enough spots. But then Esty said, "Oh no, you're right." It wasn't like she resisted.
I appreciate that.
And with Gary was tougher because, first of all...
He's not funny.
He's not funny.
Well, this felt bad for me.
I mean, no, I saw Gary performing to like 9 people at Caroline's one night. It was him and Pete Davidson were both on the bill. And I actually went home thinking both of them were really good. But this is the truth. I was scared to tell Esty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
Right, exactly. There you go.
We all are. We all are scared.
Everyone.
So the truth is, I didn't even mention Pete Davidson to her.
Yeah.
Because he was actually really, really just starting out then. But he clearly had something, you know.
Right.
But I did mention you to her. And then you came... I had you come down one night and you kind of auditioned. And you did well, you know. And then I just dropped it to her. And I don't know. But you see, hopefully they're going to cut in some of your... stand up into the show that's already out there, you know, on the radio and stuff. But Gary is extremely
clever.
Deadpan.
Oh,
dead. No, yes. Yeah, extremely. Like really, is it an exaggerated low energy or is just
a little bit? Definitely. Like I feel like it's an act, so I feel like I put it up like a little bit when I go on stage. I try and be a little bit drier than I normally am, but
a little bit. But it's still basically your personality.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah. You know, you have to really fall for that kind of thing, which I did the first time I saw him. I even checked you out online. I went to I think on your website you have some performance.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, no, he really is funny. You know, like I wanted to double check, you know.
It wasn't a fluke.
But then I didn't go to war for you. That's just the truth. I didn't go to war for you. I had gone to war kind of for Sean Patton at one time, and then he's doing great now, but this was a couple years ago, and then he wasn't doing, he would just do all his sets all over the place. And
right.
I was like, all right. But then when you were on America's Got Talent, I'm like, that's it. I mean, he's on America's Got Talent, so you don't have to take my word for it anymore. I mean, what number did you get to on America's Got Talent?
Top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you higher than Dan or
higher, yeah, significantly higher. I got higher than I did.
One round.
That's not significant.
You know, you were on Last Comic Standing when you did it.
He was my favorite on that year. That was Last Comic Standing. I'll never forget. That's how I knew you, from that appearance at Last Comic Standing.
And you were like a kid at the time.
I started doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was in college.
I wanted to do stand-up when I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look I was at George. That.
Yeah, when you had the joke about send me on the iPhone, you said, you know, send me a picture with today's paper. So I know it's you. That joke.
Oh, wait a minute. That was the second time I did Last Comic Standing. I don't think that joke was around the first time I did it.
Maybe it was the time when I saw, I was like, oh, I want to try to do this.
You're telling me that I inspired you to get into stand-up comedy.
It's one of them, yeah. Like, that season of Last Comic Standing is when I watched every single week and was like, I'm going to get the balls to go on stage and do this. soon.
It's more he looked and said, if this guy can do it, I can get it.
It might have been the first one because that second one, I feel like you probably already started. What year was that, the second one?
The second one was like 2008, I believe.
Is that when you started?
No, I started 2009, so it was... Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. So, so it was right.
And Dan got robbed.
I was trying to do some
fact
checking on you.
Yeah, but I don't want to go back into ancient history. You know,
why
don't we just talk about the Peloponnesian Wars while we're doing it? Yeah, while we're at it.
Dan got robbed on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, that was the first time.
And
I don't know that I was robbed on Last Comic.
Yes, you were.
You were clearly, undoubtedly, the funniest person.
Yeah, you were great.
I mean, the first season. Yeah, I mean,
what do you mean you don't know if you got robbed on America's Got Talent?
I mean, it was well known.
I don't think I got robbed.
Well, let me tell you
because
why
America's Got Talent, first of all, comedians really don't belong on that show. It's about spectacle and lights and sounds.
You were robbed of what you properly could have accomplished if you had not been robbed. I don't know if you would have won, but you were robbed of your of the position that you should have achieved.
Well, why should I have achieved that position?
I'm going to tell you why you were robbed.
Okay.
Because you have a very, very funny joke where the punchline is, you're not going to turn Mexican, chances are.
Right.
And they decided that you can't say Mexican.
Right.
So they made him change it to German. You're not going to go German. Now, first of all, German's just not as funny as Mexican.
Of course.
But then, after saying you're not going to go German, the German judge on the panel got offended and dressed him down on national TV, having done the joke that the producers told him to put German in.
Well,
if that's not being robbed, I don't know what
it
is.
I don't know if there was a conspiracy to make, because they wanted me to offend Heidi. I will only say the reason I don't consider it a robbing as I did the first time is because I knew what this was. It was a reality show. And so... the first Last Comic Standing, I was naive enough to think that maybe there was some legitimacy to this whole thing, and so I did feel robbed. But by the time I got to America's Got Talent, I'm like, I know this is just a dumb reality show where they're going to manipulate it, and I hope they manipulate it in my favor, and if they don't, I really can't complain.
So you think there was another gunman in the Brassy Knoll, Dan? You think that, that they told you the German thing?
No, I don't know. No, I don't know that at all. I think that, I don't think they wanted me to say Mexican because it's politically incorrect to say Mexican. Just the word Mexican in and of itself, it has a certain political incorrectness to it.
But you didn't come up with German. They told you to say German.
No, actually, now that I remember correctly, I don't think they told me to say German. I think I said, I thought it would be interesting because Heidi was one of the
judges.
You
didn't get robbed. You sabotaged yourself.
No, I thought it'd be interesting to include the judges. Like I,
oh, Jesus.
Because I wasn't insulting Germans.
But no, it's not insulting.
She doesn't get comedy, so she didn't understand that it wasn't insulting.
So I tried it with various ethnicities and nationalities, and Germans seemed to work here at the Cellar when I was... So really, it's your fault. Because you're the owner of the Comedy Cellar.
Didn't you say, Gary, that Heidi Klum, you thought you weren't back and forth with her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when we were here, and you were like, Heidi hates me.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't. I mean, she didn't get any jokes. So it's like everything you said, you're like, all right, this. She said that I talk too slow, but it's like, that's how I talk. Like, that's my delivery.
But Stern liked you, I bet.
Stern liked me, yeah.
And so Stern liked Dan.
Stern liked me. I don't know if he really liked me or if the producer said, say you like this guy.
No, Stern wouldn't.
No, Stern definitely liked me.
He liked me, but he didn't invite me on his show. Let's just say that.
Well, that's different. But Stern has an affinity for Nebuchadnezzar Jewishness. That's his, even though he's a tall one, he's basically the same as you guys. That's Howard Stern. I mean, that's if anybody gets you, it's Howard Stern.
I mean, yeah, he got it, but it's, you know, Howard Stern will say he likes you, and then they go down the line, and then Heidi Klum says she doesn't like you for a dumb reason, and then people, you know, vote for that show, so they'll tune in and listen to what she's saying, and then they'll agree with her.
She's an odd choice as a judge to begin with. Yeah, she's not American. She doesn't do anything performing arts-wise.
It would be unlikely for a stand-up comic to beat out like a plate spinner for America's Got Talent. I mean, unless you're like Martin or some magical
To be honest with you, I think stand-up comedy probably should not even be on that show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like as Dan said, it's like you have to know what you're getting into when you first do it. And a ventriloquist.
Oh, well, that's not, you know, I mean...
I don't know. I mean, you got to... Yeah, he's whatever.
Ventriloquist can win, but stand-up comic is shouldn't even be on the show?
Ventriloquism is a more...
They want a Vegas
more
act.
Fun for the whole family kind of a thing.
Exactly.
You know, this is... I mean, the people watching this are young kids. Most of the people that recognize me, if I do get recognized, are very young. I mean, like pre-tweens.
My mother-in-law watches it every...
Your mother-in-law, again, fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
Not a hip crowd, quote-unquote, or a comedy... savvy crowd.
Okay,
I mean, Mitch Hedberg probably would have been voted off in round two.
Exactly.
Had he done the show.
Do you know that I played Gary Veeder's wedding?
Oh.
No, I mean, my band played Gary Veeder's wedding totally by coincidence.
What was it, by coincidence? I took my wife to the Village Underground.
He was a fan
kind
of mine. Before I was a fan of his, he was a fan of mine.
You weren't there the night we saw. We heard the band. Though.
It was still my band. It was still my.
But we had a great time. The band is awesome. And then we were like trying to book a wedding band, and we were like, "What's a good band?" And we were like, we heard different. You know, different bands playing. They all sounded like crap. And
this band wasn't awesome. Like a wedding band. Like they
We didn't want like a typical wedding band, but they hit all the songs. Like the father daughter dance was awesome.
And they played Chris's wedding too.
Yeah.
And Rosal did a good job.
I think amazing
yeah,
Rosal
was awesome. Yeah.
Gary,
definitely recommend it.
I'm single. My parents tried setting me up with a girl. Don't do that. Don't have your parents play matchmaker. This is how they describe her. Gary, she's perfect. She's the girl version of you. Girl version of me? I'm 5'6", 140 pounds. I suck at sports. I am the girl version of me. I travel a lot, which makes being in a relationship difficult. One time I was on the road, this girl I was seeing sent me topless photos. She was like, "What do you think?" I was like, "I like them." That didn't sit well with her. She was like, "You only like them?" I was like, "Sweetie, if it makes you feel any better, my friends love them." I'm Jewish. There are perks to being Jewish. There are. I gotta go to Israel for free. That's a good perk. There's a program that sends Jewish people to Israel for free. But before they send just anyone, they put you through a screening process to make sure you're Jewish. And they'll ask you questions. First question they asked me, "Are you Jewish?" I was like, "I'm trying to get a free trip, aren't I?" They were like, "No further questions." Thank you guys very much.
Are you planning on having a kid, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know when. I feel like, you know, it all comes down somewhat like, you know, career, where I'm
going to be. Can I just tell you, and then we'll bring it, yeah. That's wrong. He's right. My father used to say this.
There's never a right time.
Well, he used to say there's always a reason not to do it.
Yeah.
As you say, there's always a reason. First of all, it doesn't cost that much money to have a kid.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It hasn't been so crazy.
It's not. No. And
said by the man who was going to buy the house across the street just so he could, like, have a place to go.
The actual rearing of the child doesn't cost that much. I mean, Hebrew school's not that much, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But in general...
Yeah. The wife is not Jewish, by the way, Noam. So there's probably not going to be Hebrew school in
the future. My kids are going to Hebrew school. Their kids, but it is such the best thing you've ever done to have children.
Yeah.
You should just go ahead and
I mean, we want to
it.
Do it. We talk about it
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, but Noam,
you know?
Just stick it in.
You say that, but yeah. I talked to Kevin Brennan's not, for example.
Wow.
You're talking to a guy who has nothing good to say about anything.
Right.
Literally.
But I talked to a lot, what can make
Kevin Brennan happy?
You promote parenthood. You are at the upper percentile of people that love being a parent. I guess most parents are fulfilled by it, but you really promote it in a way far in excess of what other people seem to say about parenthood.
Whatever.
No, but do you not? I mean,
I don't
not
know.
You are the happiest father I've ever come across.
All my friends who had children feel the same way. They adore their children, and they were very enthusiastic
about
it.
Well, I mean, study, by the way, after study says that children don't make you happier. You know, you think you're happier.
Well, then that's fine. That's enough for me.
If it's placebo, yeah, I'm definitely happier with my kid.
I agree that it feels better to plan a little.
When I'm driving home and I get to, it says exit.
You can't wait to walk in the
seven,
door.
I literally get like feelings in my like hormonal or something. Like I'm gonna go home. My kids maybe they'll wake up when I get home and give me a hug. And like I really love being a dad.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
I tell you. I'll tell you.
I'll
tell you. I mean, Esty's not, you know, promoting. Maybe I shouldn't say that. We'll probably have to cut it out. But
no, she's told me before.
This is the one thing he's scared to say is about ST.
She's told me.
When you even mentioned her name, I tried to get away.
She's not. Yeah. She's not beating the drums for parenthood.
Yeah, she's told me before. It's a thankless job.
So I'm saying you're very blessed to be this fulfilled as a parent. I don't know if that's universal.
The truth is, when they get older, they can go in a direction which can be miserable, and I believe that can happen no matter how well you raise them. And that could be a source of tremendous stress. Right. So at that point, so, you know, you won't be getting habits. But when they're young, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old, and they have, you know, knock on wood, have no issues, where there's normal children, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Right. But eventually, there's going to be, at some point,
you'll always kill with your children. Oh, yeah. Daddy, you're so funny. Yeah. Daddy's so funny.
Until the day they don't want to be seen with you, and you're the least cool person on planet Earth.
I haven't told a story on the radio, how smart my son is, and it'll be growth.
Well, it's your favorite topic, I know. Next to Donald.
My son really is something exceptional, but he's totally into superheroes. Like, totally into superheroes. Like, he knows that Superman was born on Krypton, and his father's name was Kal-El, and he's Jor-El, and then we went to Clark Kent. He works at Daily Planet, fights for truth and justice, and he can tell. He knows the Penguin is Oswald Cobblepot. He knows like he's only two. He knows everything about superheroes. But then when he wakes up in the morning, he goes, "I'm Batman today. I'm Batman. You're Robin. Come on, Robin, to the Bat Computer." So you go to the Bat Cave under the table, and like it's like where we get Two Face, and how are you gonna get Mr. Freeze? I'm gonna use my antifreeze ray. Like, he's really into it. So then I'm like, but it's all day. And I'm like, "Okay, Manny, it's time for lunch. You want to have some lunch?" No answer. "Manny, it's time for lunch." He says, "I'm Batman." Like, he's like really serious. Like, "All right, Batman, it's time for lunch." Then we're in the Batcave, and he bangs his head really hard on the table, screaming and crying. So you think that's going to not, "I want my sidekick. I want my sidekick." Not daddy, sidekick. This goes on all day. Oh, so finally at dinner, I'm like, "Look, I'm getting a little worried." I'm like, "You know this is just pretend, right? You know you're not really Batman." He goes, "I know, it's just pretend." I'm like, "Good. So who are you?" He goes, "Bruce Wayne." And then he cracks up because he knows he told a really funny joke.
That's smart. That's intuitive.
He's smart, yeah. But how can you imagine how awesome that
is?
That's great.
All right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, he's very. He probably is brilliant.
Can we bring the girls?
All right.
Yeah, so who's...
You guys stay. You guys
well,
stay.
Well,
Kristen and I are going to stand up for a second. Steven.
Well,
so my friend Steven...
There's only five mics here, Noam. You have to make some decisions.
Yeah. My very good friend Steven, who adores my children and comes to my house,
And no one can understand this friendship, by the way, Noam.
Why can't you understand the
friendship?
Well,
I mean...
We love politics
but
together.
But it's the closeness that people don't seem to get.
Well, we're not,
he's
we're
a
not
nice
like,
guy,
not
but
like
nobody can understand
friend.
Why you're such good friends.
Because we have the same interests. He likes music from between 1968 and 78, and he loves politics, and he doesn't feel he has a right to get a word in edgewise. You know, when we talk politics, he'll listen to me. And we argue about politics, and he's an ultra liberal, and I'm pretty conservative, so it's interesting to talk to him. And what else? He's a smart guy.
Okay, well, we've gotten to the bottom of it. I just know that there are people that are scratching their heads thinking, "Oh, he's a nice guy, but my God, he's around all the time, and they're joined at the hip." And
we're not joined at the hip. Anyway, but he brought two beautiful ladies here for us. Come sit down, ladies, and I'm gonna stand up. And
you're gonna stand up.
I'm gonna let you interview them.
But it wasn't my idea. With all due respect.
Okay, so then
it wasn't my idea to have them. I have nothing prepared.
No.
Sure?
Come sit down. Come sit here. I'll share.
These are Stephen Calabria's friends.
I'm Chris.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And,
Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Lyris.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
This is Dan.
How do
Hi.
You do?
Gary.
See how cool he is.
Hi.
How do you do?
I'm Gary. Nice to meet you.
There it is.
Hi. Nice
how do you
to meet
do?
Peter, baby.
Nice to meet you.
So they are models.
They look like models.
They have this kind of model.
But
like,
they're models. They're plus size models.
Yes, we are.
That's beautiful.
Correct.
That's nice.
What does that mean? Plus, like
that, they're not. They don't look like stick figures.
They
not
look like natural, normal looking women. Yeah.
Well, they're plus nice. Models are any model who starts from a size 8 and up.
Okay.
And the average size plus model that. Most of the plus models who work the most are between a size 10 to a 16. But plus models go up to about a size 20.
Okay. I'm a size 38 waist, so I'd definitely be a plus size model.
Well, you would actually be at the new department at IMG Models. It's called Braun.
Braun.
And
yes, they just signed their first like plus size male model.
Yeah.
That's for just like I'm a dad. Like I might be a dad.
You're a hot dad.
I would. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's just you know, the men who model, they're actually very, very slender and tiny.
Yeah, that's
and
not me.
And like I used to have a male model who was my roommate, and he would eat like lunch meat, grilled chicken with like no seasoning, like. Because he wanted, he needed
he was
to
like
stay
real thin
small.
Build. Yeah. Was his name Phil Hanley?
They're tiny.
So how statuesque and model-esque does a man need to be able to go out with a model? Like,
oh, that's not what it's about. I don't think that.
Oh wait, a minute. I don't even think we got to say our names.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I asked you. Remember, I introduced you guys.
Yeah, where this is all being recorded.
We'll say good.
Liesl.
Hi, it's Lyris.
Oh,
Lyris Cross.
Lyris Cross.
The fabulous Lyris Cross.
Thank you.
And I'm Stephanie Patton.
So they can Google you and see what you look like.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you can actually follow me on Instagram at Lyris C, LIRISC.
And I am Sunshine Superman.
Oh, that's a great name. We were just talking about Superman.
Oh, really?
That's Donovan. That's a Donovan song.
You got the reference.
Well, I'm
no
old.
One ever.
Gnome is well read.
I'm sure you guys have heard about the scandal with Terry Richardson.
No. What happened?
No.
He's a very well-known celebrity and fashion photographer who a lot of women came out and accused him of sexual harassment, masturbating in front of them during shoots.
Right.
Is that sexual harassment?
Are you not? Is that you can't do that?
Not to me.
I mean,
I don't think it is. Either.
I just
well,
thought,
that you know that can happen. Anyways, a doctor just got busted on the Upper East Side for masturbating on patients that were under anesthesia.
Well,
were
no, he was going down on them.
He was doing it.
I just read about it. I read about it while I was waiting. Actually, I was reading it while I was while I was waiting to get called on the podcast.
When you are a woman, you can be a victim, whether you are a model, whether you are a mother, whether it's just part of our lives.
Yeah.
Dude, walking down the street.
Yep.
Yeah. I know. That's. I told you, I have a size 38 waist, so especially if I walk through a gay neighborhood, it's my ass.
They are after you.
They want this ass. I'll tell you what, gay guys make you feel good.
They do. There,
women never talk to me, but I can't tell you how many gay guys really compliment my
ass.
No,
I don't believe that.
It's
women
true.
Do talk to you.
No, but they don't yell it. They won't say things like they won't, you know, they won't catcall me. But I feel
most
good.
Most women don't want to be catcalled themselves. They rather you approach them.
Right.
I'll say this. I know I have a different model girlfriends of mine. A lot of people think that they want to date the hunky guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, they want to date the good guy.
They want to date what?
The good guy.
They want to date Dan Natterman.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I don't like the accusation that I'm a good guy. I'm bad to the bone.
Danny.
So my friend Steven,
he's extremely insecure about himself.
Di Stefano is
he literally thinks that no woman wants to go out with him because one time when he was like 7 years old, a girl in a sandbox told him he was ugly. This is true,
right?
Not entirely.
Basically true.
It was eighth grade.
Why didn't somebody give Mr. Calabria the microphone?
In eighth grade, a girl told him he was ugly. Which is like in eighth grade, every day said it to everybody. And since then, he's never been the same.
Mm. But you know what? That's the thing about, I've noticed about men. Men will get hurt by some girl in like kindergarten, and they will hold that until they're like almost in the grave.
Yeah,
women.
Wanna jump in. Fuck you, Tiffany Sepúlveda.
Where?
Is that a real name?
She used to call me fat.
She used to call you fat. But if you saw like a really hot model arm in arm with Steven walking down the street, you wouldn't say like, "What the hell's going on there?" Right?
Hell no.
No.
You
would say
I
probably
either.
He's got something else. You know, he's got some other quality. He's got money. He's got good game. He's got
no,
good cocaine. But he has
that.
To have something.
He said good cocaine.
He has to have something. You know, there's a reason that a woman go out with
but
a man.
But I don't see it though. If I saw a girl, she must like him. I wouldn't demean him by thinking he has
but
to
have not
money.
Demeaning,
not
but
like
he's got to have some certain quality. He's got to have, if he's with a beautiful, a 9 or a 10, a super hot woman, he's got to be bringing something to the table. Doesn't have
his
to be good look. All right. His personality.
Yeah,
usually, it's going to be more than that.
I think it's one thing when it's a young guy who's cute. Maybe he's not like a male model. I mean, who is a male model? Very few people. But it's one thing when it's a way older dude or something like that. Then you're going to make assumptions like, oh, it's his car or it's his money or he has a nice penthouse or, you know, well, he buys her this, 20s. That, or the other thing.
How old are you?
29.
He's bald, but he's 29 years old. He
looks young. I would assume. Oh, they're just a young couple. They look good together.
So, do you guys have boyfriends?
I do.
I don't.
Is this why these girls? Is this your way of meeting her? Is it?
But you said this was a good idea.
What you said?
And
you,
I don't like screen people and ask them if they're
first,
single.
Let me tell you something. First of all, he loves women of color.
Oh, jeez.
Like, no.
Well, no.
There's nothing wrong with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you're barking up the right tree here.
I mean, he.
Hey. All right.
He. I think that, like, I. My wife is of color. My wife, I guess she is. She's half Indian. You know, she's. Okay. And I've had girlfriends all around, but I don't have like a thing. I don't think he's attracted to white women.
I haven't dated a white guy in years.
So your boyfriend's black?
My current boyfriend is Korean.
Okay.
The guy Korean. Before him was Colombian. Fresh off the boat, Colombian. That was hot.
Well, my guys run the gamut. My last boyfriend was black. He was a truck driver. And then my boyfriend before that was an older British guy who was like a CEO. So, like, I just date good guys.
Did you date him because he had money?
No, I met him randomly at the 4040 Club on Halloween. Like, it was really random. And we just had great conversation, and we became the best of friends. He wasn't my, like, usual type, but we just met, and we clicked, and it was great.
And I think, you know, I think the money thing is overblown.
Absolutely.
I've never asked him for money. I never asked him to pay for anything.
I think it's what the money means about a man. Like, accomplishment is sexy to a woman.
Yes, ambition.
Yes,
huge.
Ambition is very sexy.
Ambition, accomplishment, maybe even power in a certain way. And money can be shorthand for all those things. But just like a knucklehead who inherited $1 million but has, you know, can't manage to accomplish anything, that's not sexy to a woman, right?
I have to go. I have to have a spot around the corner.
No!
You're leaving us?
Well, I have to because I have to perform.
Well, here's the thing. So you met a guy at the 4040 Club, but if you're there, you probably have money. So that is the thing.
No,
you're meeting
not,
a certain class of
person. That's definitely not true about the 4040
Club. No. They don't
let me in. I came with my girlfriend. Please, they would let you in.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, he was on America's Got Talent. He was a runner-up on America's Got Talent.
That wouldn't even matter to them. They would let you in.
they don't care that you lost.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay. I have a question. Does being a model mean that you attract creepier men than normal women would?
No.
Or, no?
I think all women get hit up by creeps. It's almost constant. I think it's more, honestly, an age thing. I think if you're under the age of 35, you will get hit on all the time. Or if you're visibly in your 30s or younger.
I think that you hit on, and Steve, yeah. I always tell people, it's so easy to get girls because most guys are such creeps that they're just thrilled if you're not creepy.
Yes.
And you get, my friend Steve, this is Steve, he was the best man at my wedding.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
you might like this, you know, Steve. Steve Fabricant, you can Google him. He's the guy shaking Louis' hands. He's shaking De Niro's hands. He's kind of like he's the Forrest Gump of the comedy cell, shaking the most famous people's hands. Anyway, Steve and I went to a party one time. It was the Brazilian Independence Day party or something like that.
Carnival.
Brazilian Carnival party.
Hot chicks.
Smoking hot chicks. But yeah. Steve's a nothing, right? Steve is a nothing. All the most important people in Brazil were there. Steve walked in and came home with Miss Brazil, the Miss Universe contestant at Miss Brazil. She came in second in the world, and then he checked into a hotel with her for 2 weeks or something.
I'd like to also let the people know that Brazil has the biggest transgender population in South America. So Steve may have come up with Miss something.
HIV.
She was still Miss Brazil.
Okay, <whatever. laughs>
The point is that why did he get that? I mean, he's a handsome guy, but that's not... There were... He's not creepy.
Well, what I was going to say earlier is women just want a man who's going to treat them well.
As far as she knows. That's right. They just want to be treated well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this. I do get a lot of messages from creepy guys, but there are also a lot of great guys out there. But
is it okay if I hire somebody for a modeling shoot?
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
I'm already scared where this is going.
And I find myself attracted to her. Is it okay to ask her out?
No.
Do not ask her out
on the job.
On the job. Because first of all,
you feel uncomfortable.
We feel uncomfortable because for us, it's a business, and we don't want to come there and feel like you brought us here under the guise of, oh, you're trying to get a date.
So you should wait till after the interview, let's say.
You need to wait till after the job is completed and probably after the checklist. Okay?
What are some of the scams that people tried running on you? Or, you know, or maybe that you heard that are, you know, ones that we could try.
I remember there was a scam that a photographer tried to get me in with, you should come to my studio and shoot these pictures because there's this trip that they're doing and they're paying, you know, a couple $1,000s to go shoot for this calendar. I go to the studio, we start to shoot.
Nice.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, you should take your top off for a few pictures. And I'm like,
do you pose naked?
I pose naked. Yeah, I've posed naked, but I've posed naked for, like, Plus Model Magazine. I've posed naked for Mark Baptiste for his coffee table book.
Oh, wow.
So what raised an eyebrow with this guy? Why not?
What raised the eyebrow was... It came out of nowhere, one. Two... I always tell my other models, because now I teach this at my boot camps, your intuition always speaks to you. Mm. There will be something that's just like, nah, something's not right.
I just told my 4-year-old daughter that last night during one
night. Really? God constantly speaks to us. It's just whether or not we want to listen.
Well, I didn't say God, but I said if you get a bad feeling about something, Sophia the First book. But it was less of the book. If you get a bad feeling about somebody, you trust that bad feeling.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's right. There's a reason you get a bad feeling about somebody.
Of course.
Yeah. Although I don't get the bad feeling about Steven.
Right.
That others
yeah,
seem
that
to.
Normal people do. Yeah.
But you guys didn't get a bad feeling about him.
No, not at all.
So we all got to get a radar tweet.
We're not going to be honest right now. You could tell
No, they
us.
Wouldn't have come on the show if they had a bad feeling about him. All right.
Well, I mean, one, my agent ran it past me. Two, I already knew about the Comedy Cellar, and I know that my agent would probably, would probably kill you guys if it was some type of
crazy Fallon.
Situation. Shout out to our agency, IPM Models. Thank you, Fallon Sinclair. You're an awesome agent.
No, we are not a creepy outfit here.
No.
All right, we have to wrap it up.
Aww.
You ladies were delightful. I can say that, right? That's not creepy.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys want to stay and see some comedy or
love comedy.
Yes, I'm going to stick around.
I think there is a pretty big star coming down.
Can we get a tip? Who?
I can't say who because I can't say who, but I think you might want to stay for the show.
Chris Rock?
We'll get you a table. I can't say it on the radio. But I want to get you guys a table so you can see it.
Can I get some free food?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
I'm a plus model. I'm a plus model. I haven't had dinner.
You can have free food, free drinks.
Hey!
I told them that when you walked in to get you guys whatever you wanted.
No, we did.
They
did.
They gave us drinks.
You guys are VIP, whatever you want.
Thank you.
And as much as you want. So that's it. So anyway, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Stephen, for getting them. And thanks to Chris and Gary Veeder. You should check out Gary Veeder at
GaryVeeder.com.
VIDER.
Yeah, and at Gary Veeder on Twitter and Instagram.
You're probably a good tweeter.
I don't really like tweeting that much, actually.
But it's right up your alley.
Do you Snapchat?
Not enough words.
Yeah, I know. I don't do Snapchat that much either. I should be better at that stuff.
Snapchat is so you can speak secretly, right? Like it self-destructs.
No, you can. Snapchat is basically it's like you snap and tell your story daily through pictures or video.
Oh,
it's
kind of
like your reality show.
Do you ever get dick pics? People send you dick pics?
Yes. I haven't get any yet. Oh, no, I did get one.
Instagram
and I blocked
is the
him.
Worst.
It, nobody wants a dick pic, right?
No.
Not unless I ask for it, no.
Have you asked for it?
No, I haven't. I mean, not from anybody randomly, no. I mean, that's when you're yes. dating. No. I mean, when you're dating somebody, when you're boo, that's different. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. But in general, and you don't want dick pics.
No.
No.
Have you ever taken a dick pic, Steven?
Yes.
Not unsolicited.
I've never taken one.
I've never taken one either.
I would never do it. There's no reason to get that out there.
It's really funny. All the guys I've ever dated, because I'd be totally into that. Like, if I'm dating you, it's because I probably like your penis a lot. But all of my boyfriends, when I ask for stuff like that, they're like, no, that's weird.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
When I was younger and I was, I can imagine myself a certain time in my life that I would have done that.
Before the balls dropped?
No. Now the internet is forever and I have children and I, yeah. and you know, you think you're going to get along, but girls can be so vicious when the relationship goes
vindictive.
South. And I know that picture will show, and not that I have anything to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
I'm a big plus hands. Size model in my own way.
Oh my gosh!
But I don't need that. I don't need my daughter to see that.
Right.
She won't be pleased with any of her boyfriends after she sees daddy. So. Anyway, ladies, Jesus. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. We're going to get you your seats.
Thank
Bye, everybody.
You.